Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to another episode of Diary of a Professional. This is Ashley.
Lou here.
And we have the lovely Kerlene Campbell with us today. Before we get into all about her, let's go and talk about what we're grateful for this week. Would you like to start?
Sure, why not? Listen, I don't know, you know, if I've been saying my prayers a little different. Or if I've been somehow getting them to the main line, you know, I feel like I've been on like vacation, even though I'm not on vacation. You know what I mean? I might work 2 days and I'm free, or I'm off for a week and my schedule's just been hitting. And even when I've been at work, I'm not really having to work.
Okay.
And now I'm on another stretch for another like 6 days. I don't even remember putting it in like that. Like, I feel like every time I have a stretch like that, like, why am I not on a plane? But I'm gonna just keep it cute and be grateful.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy being that time.
And it feels like vacation. I'm on regular schedule, get regular sleep. My skin feeling like she's, you know?
I love that for you.
Thank you.
I guess what I'm grateful for this week in particular is just support when I need it. I'm going through another transition in life, and transitions are never easy. It can be quite bumpy, but I know I have great support that I know through this transition, it will be done smoothly, you know? So
amen.
I'm happy to have that support by my side and, you know, move on to the next chapter of my life. Yes. We'll see where it may bring. Yeah. So, yes. And then tell us, Kerlene, tell us what you're grateful for this week.
This week, I'm grateful for, like, there's a lot of new opportunities that, you know, that are coming, especially this opportunity, Ashley. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know, when Kirk reached out, I mean, this is an opportunity for me too. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for reaching out.
Of course.
And a lot of like little things that I wasn't paying attention to. I'm getting invited to a lot of, other things, doors opening up, and I'm like, really? Yeah. So I'm getting really excited and looking forward for a lot of new things coming. So I'm really grateful, you know, and like you said, through transition, you know, new things happen, you know, they said the caterpillar always turns into a butterfly. So that's what's happening.
I love that.
So Kerlene is a early childhood educator, but what is amazing is that she is now a published author. So we're definitely going to talk about this and this transition she did as well. So before we get into all of that, we just want to ask you, who or what inspired you to write your first children's book?
Well, growing up, I used to always like journal. Like at one point I was like the only girl with like four brothers.
Ooh.
So, you know, I had moments where, you know, like I would have to just go, you know, like play with my dolls and just pretend play by myself. And then, so I just always built this habit of like started to write, you know, about my emotions, writing things. And, that was I journaled a lot. So as I got older, I started to write like poems and poetry. Mm-hmm. And I started to work with students moving forward. The children's book, even though, you know, you read throughout your life, going to college and all those things, it's just something like, I think in most children's book, it just brings me into like a happy space. Like, I think with the colors, the pictures, and even the children's book that doesn't have words, you know, it's like the story being told just like bright colors. It just takes you into like a happy space, I feel. Yeah. So I've always wanted to write children's books, but I just never like did anything about it. While I started teaching, like, you know, I enjoyed reading the books with my students and reading it and just turning the page. I'm like, get excited over it. And at times I'm like, I will critique it myself. I'm like, oh, why didn't add that? You know, now that I'm like with the students, I'm like, they're missing this. Why didn't put this? Oh, they could have done that. They should have. And then I'm like, yeah. Like, you know, why don't you shut up and do something about it, you know? And then I started, like, again, writing manuscripts and having it, but I did nothing with it. In journals. Yeah, that I just had, and I just had them sitting and never took the step to follow through.
Sometimes that's what it takes, that push. But like, you know, obviously you've been working towards getting to that place and, you know, kind of whether you realize it or not, preparing yourself for it. As an early, you know, education educator, teacher, was it an easy transition from being an educator to a writer?
Not really. Mm-hmm. In your mind, even I remember, I forgot, I read it someplace. They're like, even like if you're thinking like you got writing never ends. It's this process that is never like the perfect piece. It's always ongoing because even once you start and you're like, okay, you could start with an idea and you're like, this is what it's going to look like. This is what I want it to look like. And by the time you're finished, it's completely opposite. You started with or what you thought.
Yeah. Because
the book that Ashley's holding, that was not the idea that I had for the book when I started. It was supposed to be the character Curleen, and she was just going to talk about her day and events that was happening. And through that process, again, like for me, interacting with my students, interacting with, because I'm also like an early intervention provider, it changed every day. Like every time I went back to write something or add something, it kept changing. And I said, no, wait. I was like, okay, that's like if I change this, I'm like, no, this, you know, and I was like, then I started focusing on objects that children like to play with. Like toys. I'm like, okay, what is Curleen gonna do? You know, I have the character in mind. I'm like, what is she doing? Okay, what is she doing throughout her day? She's playing, you know, and then again, tying into what do children like to do. But even though they're playing, a lot of people just, oh, they're playing, but they're actually learning, you know.
Right.
The process is taking place with play, and toys are not just toys. It's like the way they're experiencing the world, and it's their first step of exploring and learning.
Yeah. I kind of like how you kind of like expressed your writing process in a way, because sometimes I feel like when I'm nowhere a writer, but to me, it's like, okay, this is my plan. I have to stick with it. But I like how you just explained, like, no, it kind of evolved over time. It kind of transformed into this over time. Like it, you don't have to be stuck in that bubble of what you originally thought of or created in your mind. So I do like that you mentioned, like, no, this transformed into a whole nother piece, and here we are. Yeah. So were there any challenges or obstacles you encountered while creating this first book?
Yes.
Yeah.
That I'm not like good at drawing at all. To find someone to like capture the images that you have in your mind is challenging, because I mean, there's a lot of great artists out there, you know, people that are so creative, and you know, to get someone to capture your ideas, what you're thinking, you know, without, okay, like this, you know, to tweet, it's challenging, because most children like authors that write children, but most of them actually are able to draw their own illustrations. Like Eric Carle, like, you know, he usually, yeah. So for me, like, I'm not really that great with my artwork. So I had to find someone to do the illustrations for me. So that was pretty challenging with the back and forth, you know, like going back and forth initially when I first started, you know, finding that person. So eventually when I did go to the publishing company, they provided someone for me, and it was like the closest, to my satisfaction that I did get the person to capture the character, the closest to the character that I wanted. Because I had that image of the character and I didn't want to deviate from her. Something that I want to build on, I didn't want her to change. You know, so that's something I wasn't willing to compromise. Like, I'm like, I had the idea of her, the character from day one. So everything else changed around, but her, that character of Curly, like, I didn't want her to change, you know, like the image of, I wanted her to stay.
I can feel that, because you, it's like how it's come across in your mind. That's how I want the people to see it and receive it. I mean, can you tell us about your book, Playtime?
Of course. Okay, so in the book, Playtime, the character, she's playing with different toys. So most of the toys that are in the book, it's based on, I've chose those objects, those toys, based on working with my early learners. And those are most of the objects that they usually gravitate towards. Like, you'll see, like, the blocks, the Play-Doh, and most of those toys are usually, like, sensory toys.
Yeah.
That, you know, some kids that are, you know, it soothes them in different, and they learn differently. Like, you know, with the, for example, the ball, like, you could ask them various questions about the ball. Like, what does it do? It bounces, it rolls, you know, and they could feel it, the texture. It's, like, so many different questions that you could dig into about the ball. Like, they're not just playing. Like, what are they learning while they're playing with the ball? Like, they could give you so many responses that you're not even thinking while they're just playing.
Right.
The blocks, like, the blocks is something that you wouldn't even notice, like, how many things a child and how the thought process when they're stacking blocks. It's not just, oh, they're putting it up and knocking it down. It's like, you know, how many different ways are they stacking the blocks? And what's going to happen if I stack it too high? What's going to happen if I stack it across? Mm-hmm. You know, if I stack it uneven, if the blocks are not the same shapes, like, so many cognitive processes is going on, like, by using blocks. You know, also, like, the teddy bear, like, the texture. You know, what do they use that for? Like, how does it feel? Like, what comes to mind when you're thinking of a teddy bear? You know, how, the comfort, like, so many different things, you know, when you're looking at these objects that I chose to focus on in the book, in the text. Also, the way I highlighted the words, you know, so for the non-readers and the kids, you know, every child, like, even if they're not reading, they like to feel like they're reading. So some of the words are bold on purpose. It's intentional for them to, like, even the pictures are next to the words so that when they see the, even if they see the picture, they're going to, oh, boy, you're reading.
That association, yeah.
And then they, alone, that builds their confidence. They go, look, look. Then they'll just go on to the next page, you know, and make them think that builds their confidence and makes, you know, make, they get excited over stuff like that.
Lovely. It's lovely.
And also, you know, being in the classroom and the standards, you know, it's like rhyming. Like, also, it has, like, a rhyming concept, a theme, if you read the book.
Yeah.
That's also part of our national standards, like, kids, like, focusing on rhyming words. So if you read through the book, you'll see some of them, the words will rhyme. So you could even ask questions with them regarding that. Like, what words rhyme with that word? You know, what did you notice? And stuff like that, you know. So I put a few things in there that, you know, and I didn't make it too long for them to get, you know, lost or bored.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just long enough. I made sure that the colors was really bright.
Yeah.
And and the pictures are big so that they like to turn the pages mm-hmm. and, you know, keep going and keep them engaged.
Yeah. I personally loved your book because it was just bright colors, big, it rhymes, but it also really describes the texture of each item too as well, that they can think like, oh, this is, yes, a teddy bear is soft, you know? So I did like that, that it really helps their learning process. So, yeah. So what ages do you recommend this book for usually?
I would say up to age 5, but I've had kids older than that. Like, even though they can read, they, you know, they read it to like their younger siblings and they just like to read it, you know? So from even non-readers, like, you know, kids, like babies, like toddlers, they're turning the books, they're turning the pages, they're pointing to the ball and stuff like that. So from birth, I would say age 5. And even my English language learners, you know, my students that are not like speaking English, that, you know, this book is for them as well, you know.
Yeah. I love that. I don't think people realize, like, you know, if you have a novel or whatever, you can put as much as you want into it and it could be so many pages. But when it is, you know, like a children's book and you want them, like you said, not to be bored, it has to be concise. It has to have certain elements to grab them and capture them. So I think you did a wonderful job with that. Speaking of wonderful job, can you tell us what kind of services you provide?
Okay, so I'm a special instructor.
Right.
Yes, so I work with students, well, actually toddler from age birth to 3, with disabilities. So I go in the home, and if the family approves for these services through an agency, then I go in and I provide services. It's called special instruction or even ABA services. It depends on what the family is approved for. It's anywhere from like 30 minutes up to even like 20 hours per week, depending on the severity of services that the child might need. You know, again, and most of the services are like provided through play or depending on the age, like it's educational, like resources. Like, you know, sometimes we'll do puzzles, we'll play games, but it's all with the intent of, it's intentional, like learning activities, you know, to help with the cognitive ability and learning skills.
Yeah, that's super important and crucial, that early intervention, you know, what you do pretty much, like going into the homes and really being able to help children with their delays, going in maybe twice a week or how many hours that they're approved for. It's amazing the work that you do, you know, to help the children.
Right. We know it's an understatement. My son personally had an ABA therapist. I think he was approved for 10 hours a week at the time. And at the time he wasn't talking. And now that boy, no one believes he qualified for those kind of services. So I personally want to thank you for the work that you guys do and applaud you, because it's not easy.
And it makes a big difference, you know, and working with the families and, you know, it makes a difference and it really helps them. And you'll see, like you said, like from not speaking to when now, oh, they're speaking, they're using words, and hard to believe that at one point, you know, they weren't saying any words. And it's exciting, you know, like when you're with the family and they're not saying a word, to going to saying one word, you feel like you're the mom. You're like, ah, did you hear him? They're like, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like, did you hear that?
It feels like a breakup when you no longer qualify for that age.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I still remember her Noel. Miss her.
I feel like I knew her at one point because he was ditching me for her at one point.
Yes, yes.
Oh yeah, you become a part of the family.
Like, 1,000%.
Who cares about an Ashley?
Oh, that's funny. That's thing, you know, I love it. I love it. It's like it's, you know, like they're like, okay, it's something I've never gotten. I've had other jobs, like, but you know, when I I found my thing. Like ever since I started teaching, I've never gotten like tired of, you know, some people are like, oh, I'm tired of my job. Like, and I used to work at the hospital. I used to work in billing and financing. Mm-hmm. And ever since I've been teaching now for like, as an educator for over 16 years. And I could still tell you, I look forward. I'm like, okay, let me see what I'm going to write. Let me see what this one's going to say today. I'm like, mm-hmm. You know, like I'm still not tired of, I love it. I look forward to it. And I don't know, like if I ever will, I enjoy every moment of it.
That's a blessing.
Yeah.
They need to clone you.
They're like, you're so I'm like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, okay.
Yeah. And it shows. It shows.
Yeah.
Yes.
So do you have any advice to anyone who is a woman of color, who is an early childhood educator? Do you have any advice for them?
The advice I would give to anyone is like, you know, just go ahead and do like whatever is in your heart. Don't waste time. Don't take long. I mean, there's never going to be a moment like, okay, I'm going to wait till this for that to happen. I'm going to wait and then go and do this. I'm going to wait and do that because life is short and that opportunity might not come, but you're just going to have to take it. Like just step out and do what you have to do. Because you never know if it's, you know, you're just going to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, look how long I've waited, you know, and why I could have been done it, you know, but, you just take the step. If it's something that you want to do, go ahead and do it. Be brave, be bold. You know, once you pray about it, there's nothing to be afraid of because you're not going to lose.
No,
ooh.
You're not going to lose.
Bar.
For real.
Where can the people find you?
Okay, so you can find me on, okay, I have a few, I have my Instagram, but
your website and yeah.
Yes, so I have a website. It's called forchildsake.care. So you can go there. And also I'm on Instagram at Curlene For Real. And I have the Playtime, my book. It has its Instagram page as well.
We will tag them all so the people can reach out so that, you know, the children can read it and get, you know, expand their mind and all the beautiful things that we know your book will give them. So we are thankful for having you. Everyone, please support, go her page, get the book. Yes. Share it as a friend. Give it as gifts. I love giving books as gifts. All that good stuff. Yes, it's just like, hello. Yes. Build your library.
Yes.
Yes. Curlene, we want to thank you for coming. Guys, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. And we will see you next time.
It's also, they can also, ooh, it's on Amazon.
Yes.
On Amazon.
Easy. Easy. We're going to link that too, baby.
Yes, and Walmart.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Walmart.
And thehouse.com as well. So it's in various places that they can get the book.
Listen, and if we didn't list it, I'm sure we can find it on her page can link it there. So, I love that. Options, people. There's no excuse at this point. There is no excuse. Everybody got Prime. There's a Walmart everywhere.
Go get that book, y'all.
Don't get that.
All right. Till next time, everyone.
Yes. Take care, guys.
Have a good night. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.